Good morning. It's good to see you today, and I want to thank you for joining us in person, and I want to obviously thank those that are joining us online this morning. And I don't know about you, but even though it's a little early out and there's a little bit of overcast today, I'm certainly glad to be in God's house this morning. Amen? And just excited to be able to preach the Word of God. And we had a great first week here at Southgate with myself, my first full week working with the staff, and I didn't run anyone off yet, and they didn't scare us off yet, amen? And so I think somebody wanted to clap. Let's go ahead and clap for that, and so we're having a good time, and as I continue to work with the staff and meet the different ministry team leads, it's just, my heart is just welling up, and God. I'll say this, and this is, don't use this against me later, but one of the gifts that God did not give me was the gift of patience. And how many of you can identify with that? If you're being honest, right? And so, bear with me. I'm praying that the staff will do the same. I'm always in a hurry to do whatever it is that I need to get done, and I think most of us can be that way. And as we sang this morning, and as we think about the music that Derek and our worship team did, and didn't they do a great job today? Amen. And getting here early to practice and do what they do. And, so the idea, though, is that God does a lot in our waiting, right? And I think that's a lesson that we can all learn as we think about, the season that we're in. Now, when you think about the season that we're in, we think about the year 2020. And I think to some degree there's a weariness for all of us, isn't there, about 2020, about COVID. There's just so much that has just been incredibly challenging for all of us. And I think it'd be safe to say, and I certainly don't think it would be out of place to say that it could be a year labeled of just unrelenting difficulty, a year of unrelenting difficulty. It just, to some degree, it just feels like in the year 2020, it's just not going to let up. Maybe you've lost someone this year as the result of COVID. Maybe you've just lost someone in terms of they've passed or they slipped out into eternity. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost a child. I mean, I don't know. This election, who's excited for the election to be over? Amen? I'll clap for that. And I'm glad that regardless of who will be in the White House come January, Jesus is still on the throne. We can praise the Lord for that, and we can rejoice in that, and we can know that. Last week, we started in Numbers 14, and we discussed the consequences of living in fear. And one of the thoughts that I intended to bring out last week was this, and I want to bear this down on us today, and that's this thought. As we get older, our faith should be getting stronger and not weaker. As we get older, our faith should be growing, not diminishing. And so I want us to jump back to an earlier part of the story. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 14. And we're going to look at a few verses this morning. But I want us to jump back into an earlier part of the history of the children of Israel. Now, if you know anything about the children of Israel, and I know there might be some of you here today that you weren't raised in church, and you may not know all the stories that are found in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is the first part of the Bible, but in the early part of the history of the nation of Israel, we find that here was a people that God blessed, that God promised, that God led, that God guided, that God guarded to some degree. And yet, they were a people that struggled with unbelief, and they struggled with fear. And I don't know about you, but there are moments in my walk with God, and there are moments in my spiritual journey where I've struggled with fear, right? I've struggled with unbelief. And you say, well, man, you're a pastor. You have moments of unbelief. You better believe it. I mean, if the disciples, the 12 that walked with Jesus, I mean, Jesus rose a cat from the dead, amen? Like he rose somebody from the dead. Blind Bartimaeus, who couldn't see, bam, gave him his sight back. Another dude laying by the pool of Bethsaida, couldn't walk, said, hey, gather up your bed and get on with it, right? These men saw these things, and yet the Bible says that the disciples said, hey, we believe, but help our what? Help our unbelief. We all have these moments where we question God. We question God, what are you doing and what are you up to? Because I'm going to be honest with you, there's sometimes that God does some things in our lives and they certainly don't make sense, right? Like, I don't know why this happened to me. I don't know why this is going on. And yet we find in the Word of God an incredible amount of hope, and we find an incredible amount of truth in those moments when we doubt, in those moments when we're afraid, that God is near, that God is ever present, and that God is always at work. And it's no different in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 10. The children of Israel are fleeing the nation of Egypt. They're fleeing Pharaoh and his army as they're leaving the bondage that they found themselves in. And the Bible says in verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, is it because there's no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again, because the Lord will fight for you, and you have only be silent. The Father in heaven, I need your help today. Because if I get up here and I do a talk and people get motivated, but yet their lives aren't changed, we've wasted the next hour. More than anything today, we need to hear a fresh word from God. And while this story might be familiar to many, it might be unfamiliar to others, but in reality, we need to hear from you. We need our hearts to stand firm. We need our faith to grow. And we need to be our minds to be set on the truth of the Word of God. And so, Lord, guide our thoughts, guide my words, and fill this place with your Spirit. And let us leave here eternally different because we were here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week we talked about the idea that we should not forfeit our future by not putting our faith in God. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next several weeks as we journey and as we walk together through the Word of God. Because if we desire to live by faith, please note this today, if we desire to live by faith, our best days are ahead of us. Are you with me? If we desire to live by faith, if we walk by faith and not by sight, our best days as individuals, as followers of Jesus Christ, are right in front of us. Our best days as families are right in front of us. If we live by faith, our best days as a church are right in front of us. And so this morning, the reality is that we oftentimes, instead of desiring to live by faith, oftentimes we see the hindrances or the setbacks or the difficulty and the adversity that's right in front of us rather than seeing the character and the nature and the power and the presence of God that's all around us. And so this morning, the big idea is this, is difficulty is the tool that God is using to develop your faith. And so while 2020 has been a year of unrelenting uncertainty, I want you to understand today that while we didn't see COVID coming and words like pivot and words like the new normal have become a reality in our conversation, they certainly did not surprise God. God was not caught off guard. God was not caught off guard by the loss of your loved one this year, the loss of your job. God was not caught off guard by anything that's occurring in our lives right now in this moment. And so this is what I want you to do this morning, is I want to encourage you to write down one or two hindrances that you see in your life right now. Every one of us has them. Every single one of us has one or two things in our life right now that we see as a difficulty. We see it as a roadblock. We see it as a setback. We see it as something that's hindering us from fulfilling the purpose of God in our lives. And I want to challenge you to write that down. Maybe it's something that you're afraid of, or you believe that it's in the way of God's plan for your life. And I want to tell you today, what you think is in the way is actually the way to promise. The thing that you think is in the way, the thing that you think is holding you back, is actually the very thing that's going to help you get where you need to get going. Now, some Christians today are stuck. They want to move forward, but because of fear and a lack of faith, their spiritual journey is characterized by wandering, excuse making, apathy, and oftentimes, unfortunately, mediocrity. And maybe you've experienced this. I've done this before where I've had a setback. I've had some adversity, some difficulty. I've had a church member. I mean, certainly not here, but I've had church members before that have been somewhat aggravating, right? Amen? That certainly isn't going to happen here. Woo, I hope not. Let's go. Amen? We're in this together, right? Listen, that person wasn't my issue. That setback wasn't my issue. All of that stuff happens in the sovereign plan of God for my good and for His glory. Now, the children of Israel were about 200 to 250 miles away from the destination that God wanted them to go, and that was the Promised Land. And what should have taken them a month ended up taking them 40 years because of a misplaced faith. Instead of depending on God, they focused on the difficulty in front of them. And so this morning, I want to remind you that no matter what you're facing, you can look to a faithful God who's going to deliver you. No matter what you wrote down, those one or two things that you see as a hindrance, a setback, a difficulty, or an adversity, whatever it is that you wrote back, those are the very things that God is using to get you to the Promised Land. And the first thing that I want you to note in this passage of Scripture is that God is reinforcing our faith. In those moments of difficulty, in the moments of adversity, in the moments where we don't have the answers and we don't know what to do, listen to me this morning, God is in the process of reinforcing our faith. And we read that this morning. When the children of Israel were faced with the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army behind them, I think a fair question to ask is, God, what are you doing? Oftentimes over the years when I've had counselees come to my office, one of the things that I've asked them is when they share their issue with me, when they share their problems with me, I'll say, hey, what do you think God's up to in this situation? What do you think God's doing? Where do you think God's leading you in this moment? God was teaching His people in this moment to live by faith, a complete dependence on Him. The Lord told Moses to tell the people to go forward. Listen, God is ever, always working to get us to a place of faith. He's reinforcing our faith. He's showing us His character. He's showing us that He is God. He's showing us His very nature, and He's strengthening our faith. And so in the midst of the most difficult hour, in your most difficult hour, you can depend on God to deliver you. You can depend on God to deliver you. Each and every circumstance and situation in our life is designed by God to accomplish His purposes. Listen, success isn't always on the horizon, but God will always strengthen your faith. And a faithful follower of Jesus Christ is successful in the kingdom of God. No matter what you're facing this morning, if you remind yourself of the promises of God and the faithfulness of God, it will reinforce your faith to move you forward to the place where God has called you to be. So God reinforces our faith, but He also reveals our faith. And we see this also in our text today in verses 10 through 14 that we read. In the process of putting us in a situation where our faith needs to be strengthened, God will often allow the circumstance, the difficulty, the adversity, the setback to be the very thing that reveals our faith. And what I mean by that is this, is that God wants to show us what our faith is in. God wants to show us what our faith is in. And so another way of saying that is like this. God tests our faith to show us what our faith really is and where it is at. Now, faith is faith. A lot of us have faith in a lot of things. We have faith in our 401k. We have faith in our spouse. We have faith in our parents. We have faith in our jobs and our financial security. But faith is faith. But when you put your faith in God, it's not a blind jump into a dark abyss of nothingness. Man, you're putting your faith in the one true living God who knows all things, who sees all things, who has sovereign authority over everything. That's the God that we put our faith in. So what we put our faith in is incredibly significant, and it certainly matters. God was using the adversity in their lives to reveal where they were spiritually. And facing this difficulty revealed the lack of faith that they had in the Word of God, in the promises of God. And so this morning, if you find yourself in a moment of difficulty, if you find yourself in a moment of loss today, if you find yourself in a moment where you've had a setback, you can know this, that God is showing you what your faith really is. He's showing you what you're putting your faith in. Now, nothing reveals our faith like adversity. Now, I mentioned Peter last week, and Peter, on the eve of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, fired up for who Jesus was, told Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll die for you. He said, Peter, listen, I love you, but the cock ain't going to crow three times before you deny me. You're going to deny me. And it was Peter who, in the midst of that moment of everything going on, was so afraid that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't sometime after that that Peter would grow in his faith, and he'd later pen the words that we read in 1 Peter 1:7, where he says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith be more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I've often found that when God allows adversity in my life, the very same things that were found in the people of Israel are often found in my heart, right? And so before we are quick to judge them and we're quick to criticize them, the reality is that when God tests my faith, and oftentimes when God allows a setback to happen in my life, oftentimes the very same things that were found in their lives and in their hearts is found in mine. What do we find in their lives? Well, the first thing is this, is we find fear. In verse number 10, we read it earlier. It said, the Bible says they feared greatly. Now listen, I want to tell you this morning, God will show you your weaknesses so he can show you where he wants to strengthen you. The Bible says that the children of Israel feared greatly. Fear wasn't the problem, it was their response to the difficulty. Now folks, listen to me this morning. We all, and this is a good place for an amen, we all have fears. Some fears are good. Amen? Like, I have a fear of spiders. Just being honest. I've never met a spider that I had the enjoyment of being in its presence. Right? In fact, if we have a spider in our house and my wife says, hey, I see a spider, I go into the next room and pretend like I didn't even hear a word that she just said. I have a fear of spiders. There's a healthy fear that I have of spiders. But let me ask you this. The issue with fear is this, is what do we do when we fear? Because fear reveals idolatry. It reveals what we're actually putting our faith in. You see, where we go wrong with fear is the moment we go wrong with fear, the moment we try to control the outcome or we complain. The moment we try to control the outcome or we complain. Now, the Bible recognizes that one of our greatest struggles is fear. In fact, over 480 times in the Bible says this, do not fear. In some form or fashion, over 480 times, the Bible says, do not be afraid. And the reality is that we are fearful people, and that God is using life and the uncertainty of life and the difficulties that we face to move us from a place of fear to a place of faith. Some sins grab you. Some sins grab you. And they imprison you. Fear does that. Faith sets us free. And if you allow fear to control your life, listen, you're going to miss out on some of God's best moments. You're going to miss out on God's deliverance. Now, Max Lucado said it this way. He says, fear is the big bully in the high school hallway. He's brash and loud and unproductive. For all the noise that fear makes in the room it takes, fear does little good. Fear never wrote a symphony or a poem, negotiated a peace treaty, or cured a disease. Fear never pulled a family out of poverty or a country out of bigotry. Fear never saved a marriage or a business. Courage did that. Faith did that. And people who refuse to consult or cower to their timidities, they did that. Fear will hijack your life. Be careful of fear and panic, because when we panic, listen, This is good theology right here. When we panic, we do dumb things. Amen? We do. And when we don't live by faith, we end up doing, this is another good place for an amen, we end up doing boneheaded things. We just do absurd things. How many times have you reacted to a difficulty in fear and it made things much, much worse? Amen? I can't tell you how many times I haven't trusted God and it made things much worse. I've done that. I'm not speaking to you on a platform today like I've got this figured out. I'm in this with you, my friends. Put your faith in God before you regret doing something foolish. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control and of a sound mind." Now, the second thing that we see that happened to the children of Israel was not just their fear, but they ended up complaining. Look with me, if you will, again in verses 11 and 12. They said to Moses, "It is because there are no graves." Moses, did you bring us out here because there weren't any graves in Egypt? Did you bring us out here to die? Is this some big joke? The Bible says that they saw the Egyptians marching after them. They feared greatly. They asked Moses, What have we done? What have you done to us bringing us out in Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Another good thing just to jot down this morning. I mean, and we're living in an incredibly backward year. And I think this is good advice. Complaining never solved anything. Now that might not be appropriate grammar, but man, that's a good word from God today. Complaining never solved anything. It never solves anything. What foolishness. They were saying, "We'd rather be slaves back in Egypt rather than trust God with our lives. We'd rather live in bondage. We'd rather be under the thumb of Pharaoh than to walk by faith." Every one of us, listen, every single one of us is open to that type of foolishness, that type of complaining. "God, my life would be so much better if you just make this go away." And it might be your boss. It might be your spouse. It might be your parents. It might be a teacher at your school. It might be a kid or student that you're having to deal with. I don't know what it is, but the very thing that you think that needs to be removed from your life is the very thing that God is using to sanctify your life. Now, I get life is filled with hurt. And sometimes we wonder, man, how much setback can I handle? How much hurt can I handle? I want to tell you this morning, the very things that you're complaining about are the very things that God is using to keep your heart close to His. You say, man, I don't know how much more of this I can withstand. I don't know how much more of this I want to go through. Listen, God knows exactly how much you can go through, and it's just enough. It's just enough to keep your heart close to His. Now, Israel is looking at life horizontally instead of vertically. They were looking at life from a human perspective. They were looking at the Red Sea. They were seeing the Egyptians. They were seeing that they were in a moment of uncertainty, and they didn't know what to do. But instead of looking up and seeing the pillar of cloud, the presence and the glory of God right in front of them, instead of remembering and going back and rehearsing in their mind the faithfulness of God at every step of the journey, they were looking in front of them at the difficulty that was holding them back. And friends, I want to tell you this morning, so often in our walk with God, our life and our faith is hindered, not because of the situation that we find ourselves in, because we're not looking up to God. We're not trusting Him. We're not believing Him for the impossible. I want to tell you, short-sightedness, a myopic view of life will cause us to look at our circumstances rather than see the deliverance of the Lord. How often have you done that, and how often have you regretted it? The way to grow in faith is not to remove the difficulty, but to depend on God. In moments of fear, call out to Him in faith and ask Him to deliver you. Now listen, this is coming from a fellow that struggled with anxiety over the years. I have moments of bouts with anxiety. I mean, there have been moments where I'd have shortness of breath and a tightness in my chest, and I didn't even know how to pray. And the only words that would come off my lips and out of my mouth were these. Psalm 56:3. "Lord, at times when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in Thee. Lord, when I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what step to take. But I know I can trust in You." The disciples doubted God. Man, we all have doubts and we all have fears. But instead of complaining and cowering, we can come before God and ask Him to increase our faith. And I don't know about you today, but I need some of that. I need some of that. And so not only did He reinforce their faith, and not only did He reveal their faith, but lastly, I want you to see He'll reward your faith. And sometimes, in the case of the nation of Israel, He'll reward your faith even when you do boneheaded things. The Bible says in Timothy, listen, that He is faithful even when we're not faithful to Him. Now that's the mercy of God. God is faithful even when I haven't been faithful to Him. God wants to show you, man, jot this down. God wants to show you what your faith can be, not what it is. He allows the stuff that's going on in your life right now in this moment because you need to see what your faith is, what it is in, and where it is at. But He wants to show you what your faith can be. You can have a strong faith, and He develops the faith of those who depend on Him. And I'm challenging you today, man, don't miss out on this. I like what C.S. Lewis said, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. God rewarded His people with His presence, His power, and His protection. In the text, listen to what the text says. Later on in this passage, the Bible says in verse 19 that the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, who is going before the host of Israel, are you with me? He moved behind them. Instead of being in front of them, leading the way, He went from guiding them, but He stood between them and the Egyptian army. He went from guiding them to guarding them. They didn't ask for it. They didn't even know what they needed in that moment. And yet, God gave them exactly what they needed to take the next step in their journey. And friends, I want to tell you today, God wants to do that for you. God wants to do that for your family. God wants to do that in this church. And so life is often like that. We don't know what we even need when we get in these moments. And yet God is faithful. No matter how dark and no matter how difficult the situation you're facing may seem, God is near. And listen to this. He's fighting for His people. But listen, God's at work right now in your life in 1,000 different ways. And you might be only aware of one or two. God is at work right now in your life in 1,000 different ways, and you may be only aware of one or two ways. And friends, I want to tell you, no matter how difficult your life is right now in this moment, I want to encourage you and I want to remind you that He never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a difficulty. He uses every setback to reinforce our faith, to reveal our faith, and to reward our faith, even when it's undeserved. And so this morning, I want to challenge you. Instead of focusing on the difficulty in front of you, depend on God who is fighting for you. Now, I want you to think about this morning. I want you to think about your real life because the Bible is about real life. It's not just a bunch of stories and fables and we're not going to sit around like Aesop's fable. And there's not just a morality or a moral to the story. These stories apply in real time to what you and I and what we're going through in this moment. So I want you to take your past and your failures, because we all have them, right? We all have the times where we failed God, where we got off track, or we complained. So take all of that, and I want to encourage you to cling to a faithful God today who delivers. Because difficulty is the tool that God is using to develop your faith. Listen, the children of Israel were delivered from the bondage of Egypt by the way of the Red Sea. And friends, this morning, Jesus delivered us from bondage by way of the cross. So every follower of Jesus this morning can put their faith in a God who delivers on His word. We can trust Him to save us and sustain us in a way that's supernatural. So when you think about your faith today, I want to kind of circle back to what we talked about when we began the message this morning. I want to ask you, what difficulty are you facing right now that God is using to grow your faith? What one or two things did you jot down this morning that you say, man, this thing's just holding me back? When in reality, it's the very thing that God is using to expand your faith. Instead of complaining or responding in fear, could you take steps to depend on God to deliver you in His time as He develops your faith? Let me ask you this morning, faith is about following God where He leads. It's about obedience and trust. It's not about having a big faith. Listen, it's not about having a big faith. It's about following a faithful God. It's about following him where he leads. And let me ask you, are you doing that today? When you think about your family, I look around this room and I don't know many of you yet. I don't know your stories. I don't know your backgrounds. I don't know what issues that you bring. And listen, we all bring issues, right? We're all kind of messed up. We're all broken. We're all jacked up in some way. But are you facing in your family today a difficulty that's causing your faith to waver? Maybe in your marriage, maybe with your kids, maybe in your marriage you've lost that spark, that love. Maybe there's just been incessant fighting between you and the kids or you and your spouse. Maybe there's been a situation that you can't get over. Maybe there's been some infidelity, I don't know. But are you struggling to raise kids that love Christ and want to serve him? I want to challenge you today, move forward in faith and obey God. Trust him. Don't be afraid. Step into tomorrow with incredible confidence that God is guarding us and God is guiding us. You think about your finances. Man, 2020 has just been an incredibly uncertain year financially. Have your finances taken a turn for the worst? Some of you, I know you'd probably like to give more, but you've been saddled with debt and you don't know what to do. Maybe you've lost your job this year. Maybe your 401k took a dip this year. I don't know. But I want to ask you, have you trusted God with your finances and have you sought contentment in him? I want you to think about your future. Let me ask you this. I think many of us do this. I know I do. I get kind of hung up on some of this stuff because I like everything to fit in a box. But let me ask you, are you worried about the future? Man, some of you are worried about this election. Some of you are worried about college. Some of you this morning are worried about retirement. Some of you are worried about that next promotion. Some of you are trying to produce an outcome and you're living with anxiety. And some of you are living with depression because things just aren't unfolding the way that you thought they would unfold. Things aren't going the way that you think they should go. So this morning, I want to encourage you as we think about how God uses difficulty to develop our faith. I want to remind you this morning that God, who is faithful, he is calling you to move forward. He's calling you and he's calling me to put our faith in him, no matter how little, how big, or how weak, or how struggling it might be. He wants us to put our faith in him, the one who will protect you, provide for you, and show you his power and presence as you obey his word and follow his plan for your life. Can I ask you this morning, are you trusting his word? Are you leaning on the promises? How many of you remember that old hymn, leaning on the promises? Are you doing that today? Are you resting in his faithfulness? Now listen, I understand most of you, you don't want to face your fears. You don't want to face your failures. And you certainly don't want to face your lack of faith in God. We like to come into church and bring our Bibles and sit on the front row and stand up. We all know when to stand up. Last week I stood up when I wasn't supposed to. But when you're the pastor, I guess you can do whatever you want, right? But I just stood up. I thought we were supposed to stand up. We all come in and we play the game. We know how to speak the language. It's Christianese. We know, brother, how you doing? Which I think when people call you brother, it's just kind of weird to me. But hey, brother, you doing good today? Brother, I couldn't be better if I asked, you know? When in reality, on the inside, we're just broken. We just don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how we're going to pay the bills. We don't know how we're going to put food on the table. We don't know if our marriage is going to make it another week. And we like to act and we like to pretend like everything is going okay. And so we don't want to face our fears and our failures, our lack of faith in God. We like to act like we're the greatest Christian of all time. But I'm going to tell you, when we get to a place of authenticity, we get to a place of just being real, and a place of acknowledging that we're not everything that we think we are, and we're certainly not everything that we proclaim to be. When you do that, you're going to find a God who is ever merciful, loving, kind, and good. And he will shower you in mercy the moment that you step out in faith and trust him to deliver you every single step of the journey. And I want to pray that over you this morning. I want to ask you this morning, I'm going to ask you right now in this moment, if every head could be bowed and every eye closed with no one looking around, how many of you'd say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, there's some hindrances in my life that I see right now that I falsely believe that they were holding me back. Would you just lift your hand? I falsely believe they hold me back. I got some things, hold them up and leave them up there, just up there for a minute, okay? No one's looking around. I wrote down a couple things today. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you would say, Pastor Jay, there are some fears in my life that I need to move on from. There's some setbacks that I've had in my life this year that I need to move on from. And I want to do that today. I want to walk in faith and not by sight. Would you lift your hand and let me pray with you and let me pray for you this morning in this moment? Amen, 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 amen. Hands are, amen. Yes, sir, I see you up here. Yes, sir, in the back. Father in heaven, you are a faithful God. It's your character. It's your nature. It's who you are. Lord, I lift these dear folks up to you this morning, but I don't even know all of them by name yet. But Lord, you know the numbers of the hair on their head. And I lift them up to you today. Because Lord, life sometimes can be incredibly challenging. It can be scary. It can be frustrating. And yet, you allow all these things to happen and occur in our lives so that we can walk with you, so that we can grow in our faith, so that we can experience your blessings. And the blessings aren't the deliverance. It's the dependence on you. It's the moment that our faith grows. That's when things get real sweet. Not when you just allow us to experience the answer to prayer, but when we go deeper with you, when we experience something with you that we would have otherwise never experienced had we not found ourselves in that moment. And so I lift up these dear saints to you, these dear folks to you today, and I pray over them that their faith would grow, that their faith would be increased and strengthened. There'd be a boldness in this room today as we leave here and as we move into and step into the future, as individuals and as families, and certainly, God, as a church, that we would lock arms together and do what you've called us to do, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.